I must treat others the way I want to be treated, or I have no right to expect to be treated that way. I just have no right if I am not willing to give it to others. Live and let live. What does that mean? It means that in some of our meetings we hear things that we just don't believe in. We see people we don't like. There is such a thing as just not liking another's personality, and that is dangerous. There's nothing wrong with a feeling. There's nothing wrong with a feeling. But it is liable to lead me to do things and think things that are not right, that are unbalanced. If I do not like you, just your physical appearance, I am just willing to believe negative things about you. And I'm almost anxious to hear negative things about you. I don't want to be that way, but I think that's a part of the way we're built. I really do. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I so want people to like me, and I think that you want people like you too. And we do things to get people to like us. We say nice things, we do nice things because we want someone's friendship. That's normal. It's perfectly normal. I had a confessor in the seminary. His name's Father John Sullivan. And just before I was ordained, he was trying to tell me that no matter what I do or say, there will be some people that just absolutely do not like me. And he said, I want to share this from my own life. Back, I guess, in the 30s when he was ordained. He was in the seminary. He was in his last year. And it was just before ordination. And he said there was a classmate of his. He said he spoke to him all the way through for, I don't know, something like 6 years. He said I had never spent any time with him, nor he with me. He said we attended classes together and nodded when we passed each other. He said I knew his name, but that's about all we knew of each other. And he said it was about a week before we were to break up and leave, and he to be ordained in his diocese and I in mine. And he said one night out of the clear blue sky, he said it was after supper, and the fellow said, hey, Sully, would you care to walk? And he said, yeah. So they walked, and the fellow started a little bit of small talk. And finally, he said, Sullivan, I asked you to walk with me tonight, he said, because I have something to tell you. He said, I don't like you. I have never liked you. And Father Sullivan said he was surprised, obviously. And he said he was hurt. He said, holy smoke, what is it I did? You know, did this go back 5-6 years? Was it something I said? Was it something I did? Guy says, you never did anything. You never said anything. He said, I just don't like you. And that was it. I just don't like you. I don't know what it is, he says, whether it's your personality or what, but he said, it's been chewing away at me, and he said, I just thought I'd tell you. He said, I feel better for having told you. I mean, that was the end of that. That was the end of the thing. But it hit Sullivan. He said, when he went to his room that night, he just said, you know, no matter what you do or say, there will always be people that just don't like you. Now, let's reverse that. There are some people I don't like. And there are some people you don't like. And it isn't necessarily because of something they've said or something they've done. You just don't like them. And yet, if I want the freedom and the space and the time to live and grow and be and so on, I have to extend that to the people I don't like. I do have to accept the idiosyncrasies of people, especially those that I live with and work with and spend my time with and my life with. Sometimes you hear things that people say that you know, at least you think you know, are not true, or are said for, let's say, an unflattering reason, and you just, something inside of you is boiling, and you've got to force yourself, live and let live. You hear people's attitudes toward the program of AA, toward the way they work it. And you say, I wouldn't give a dime for his sobriety. I don't like it. I don't like what he's doing. All of these things that can generate really, really negative, harmful feelings in one are so dangerous,
so dangerous. And that is why AA has very few slogans. There are only about four or five of them. And this is one of them, live and let live. Doesn't it make you think that since 1935 there have been, I would guess, close to 2 million people from every conceivable walk of life, personality, stage of development, and they have all grasped some bit of this program. They've gotten well to a greater or lesser degree. They are literally walking hand in hand and passing this message on. And it hasn't busted up. They have still plowed on because there were some who have grasped this live and let live, and they have passed it on to others. You know, AA says to you, if you don't like this group, if you don't like what you're hearing and you just can't cope with it, go somewhere else. Go where you are comfortable. There's always an answer for irritants in this magnificent program. Always. Live and let live. I beg people, please respect me. Respect the way I believe and feel. Respect the period of development that I'm in. I have not yet reached this stage of spiritual progress. I'm still floundering here and there. Please give me time to grow. I mean, even though it isn't worded that way, that's there. And AA tells us that we have a right to that. And it also beats into us that we have an obligation to give everybody else that right. To grow at his own pace, to walk to his own drummer. And this is so important. You know, we in AA see that, or we fail at it, of course. But we try. This is what we have that the rest of the world doesn't have. Constant reminders, meeting after meeting after meeting, all of our lives. I sometimes feel sorry for people outside of this marvelous program because they don't have that. They don't have these reminders. And the beautiful thing about AA is we have all kinds of people who love us enough to keep saying to us, live and let live. Sometimes I'm unaware of my own failings, and I have someone to remind me. And the beautiful part is that sometimes I see a friend falling into that same category, and I'm able to say, live and let live. I remember one time a woman asking me, she said, there's a man in my group I just don't like. I really don't like him. And yet when he comes in, I always ask him, how are you? How is your wife? How is your family? And so on. She said, am I being a phony? I said, no, you're being an adult. You're treating another human being the way you would wish to be treated. So I said, somewhere along the line, you're grasping what this AA program is all about. Live and let live is a beautiful slogan for anyone to live by. Because it does enable me to look at another human being and the way he's living. I may not agree with it. I may not agree with it at all. But I can function comfortable in the way I'm functioning according to my own lights, according to my own conscience, according to my own guidance with whoever is supplying it. And I'm able to let go and say, even though I would like him to be different, he's not. I am letting him live without interfering or anything else. And I believe that if we give others that benefit of the doubt, if we let them go their way lovingly, I believe that that's the clue to enable us to live and to grow and to have people care enough about us to come and find out how it's done. Live and let live is one of the loveliest slogans that we have to function by. And I believe that if we do it, we will have some sort of effect on those outside of our program. But that's about all I have to say about that this evening. And that brings this evening to a close. And I thank all of you for coming. And maybe we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. See you then. Thank you.